Area 941 podcast are produced and distributed by Community Powered 94.1 KPFA Radio. Please help support Area 941 at kpfa.org.
Yes, we are, and we are back.
We're wet, too.
Yeah, it's raining.
Stormy weather.
But, you know, after all, you know, it's so funny. Every time it rains in San Francisco, it's like the Chronicle has to assign a team of reporters.
Yes,
and every
I
TV
know.
Station's got people all over, and it's like, oh, my God, the end is coming. It's going to rain. It's going to rain.
Krakatoa.
Oh, my God. Krakatoa. And then, you know, it wasn't really, it rained. It wasn't
no,
really that bad.
Yeah,
you know?
It was almost fun, except for whatever.
I mean, there was some flooding, but it's...
Yeah,
it's you know,
a loss of life that we can do without. But
if you come from the East Coast, it's like sometimes it rains.
Yeah, and you know? Then, you know, it's all about fashion, too.
Yep.
And so the Golden Globe goes to La La Land, which I'm talking about the AD 17 democratic process. quasi-exercise. All right, look, I'm going to try to sanitize this just because of time, but it was fucked up. The results are good in the main, but I do think they could be better. And what we need is a clearer structure for the process. When I was in Sacramento, some of my colleagues from the South would come back from a voting process and say, oh, there was a fist fight for the delegates, and oh, there was a bomb scare. And I said, oh, how lucky we are that it's so Pacific here. But yesterday was somewhat disturbing for a couple of reasons. One, I think, you know, busing, I think it's allowable, but it does make you uncomfortable. You know, you have to think, gee, what's happening here? And then the issue of not asking for ID and then putting that in the mix with, you know, you don't want to discriminate against people. I think there are answers. I think there are answers to this question. And one very concrete thing that, you know, I experienced was as a senior, the ADA accommodation was minimal, and you have to do more than that. You have to be on top of these things. So I understand that the purview for how these assemblies are called, you know, for the delegates, but that doesn't mean locally we can't institute some rules, you know, through consensus. Yeah, watch. You know, that would at least make it fair and honest. And, you know, and not have David Chu commanding a wagon train of people and make that about politics or Deborah Walker looking the other way. There are answers to this.
There are answers.
It'll still be for tomorrow.
The easiest answer is to extend it all day. I mean, they had
online. Get excited about this process.
They had from 10 to 12:30 to vote. And at like 12:15, there's still like 600 people in line. And I know they let everybody in line vote, but why can't they start at 9 in the morning and go till 5 in the afternoon, and then you wouldn't have these horrible long lines, right? And, you know, a little bit better organization. Interestingly, on the other side of town, in District 19,
hey,
there was nowhere near these kinds of problems. And that's partially because Henny Kelly was running it, and Henny makes sure that nobody messes with her.
And David Chu was not in,
and David
in
Chu
the
was not in
it.
The middle
yeah,
of it
I
trying
mean,
to...
It's his district, so...
He wasn't trying to screw things up. But... It was a little better organized, and there wasn't this like idea that you're going to be in line for 2.5 hours. And you're right, there was no bilingual ballots, there was no ADA accommodation. It just, you know, and it left people, whatever the outcome was, generally good. And I give a lot of credit to the organizers of the reform slate who really pulled it together and despite all the odds, won most of the seats. But people walked away feeling like this process wasn't fair.
Yeah.
Whatever side you're on, people walk, and that's what's got to be fixed.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that there's always an endemic feeling there, but, you know, the more visible things are, the more transparent things are, you know, that can lessen it a little bit. There's always going to be some winners and some losers, but as we all know in politics, you know, that's not a definitive moment. It happens, it's over.
It happens,
and there's more.
Some people win and some people lose, but both sides should walk away feeling like the process was fair.
Yeah. And then speaking of process and the mayor's ability to appoint replacements on the Board of Supervisors. yeah, Jeff Sheehy. Well, I've had a long time relationship with Jeff. And, you know, I want to be diplomatic, but, you know, frankly, the word batshit comes to mind. I just, you know, there's something there. I know he's from Waco, Texas, where my late lover Tim Curbo is from. And I think his father was mayor or something. But it's been a rocky relationship. He's been good on some issues, but then very flaky on others. And I sense a lot of duplicity and instability in him. There's a little bit of the daily kind of bullying thing, too. It's the mayor's appointment. The mayor's going to have to live with it. He does pitch a very good game. He is a smart guy. If he can stand up to the scrutiny that he's going to be subjected to now, well, I guess more power to him. But in my mind, there's a wild card.
There's a wild card.
He's like a superhero, you know, one of the DC superheroes that are kind of malevolent, you know, and Dr. Goo-Goo.
well, you know, the Jeff, in, you know, 20 years ago was very much part of the progressive operation, and he was a big supporter of yours. In 1999, he gave money to your race for mayor.
And then he turns on you, and then he writes nasty letters, and then he, you know... So, the sustainability is that's the question.
Right, because then, 10 years later, he's giving money to Rebecca Prozan and the more moderate folks. And so we'll see where his politics are right now, and we'll see what happens when he's on the board. And you're right, he has to actually vote on issues where it's the mayor's way or it's the public interest way.
Yeah, well, he's a good sweet talker. You know, he's a Texas boy. So I'd be wary. So speaking of that, Airbnb, and the status of it is the mayor vetoed
the 60-day limit, which, by the way, other cities are starting to get way ahead of San Francisco on this. New York, in fact, the governor of New York is going after Airbnb.
Yeah, for a while now,
and San Francisco is lagging. So the mayor vetoed this measure that would have cut it to 60 days, how many days you could rent out your place on Airbnb, which is, you know, that's a lot of nights, but it would be a lot more fair to everybody. And, you know, without 8 votes to overturn that veto, it's going to be very difficult. Well, somehow I don't think Jeff Sheehy's going to be the 8th vote.
No, but I also think that they could try to manipulate this, and they made some deal where there'll be a compromise, so the mayor won't look as extreme, and that they would give that mediation kind of thing to Sheehy so that he will look good. Does that sound cynical?
It does.
Because that's how it fucking works.
That's how it works. The thing here is... We all know that one of the early investors in Airbnb was Ron Conway.
Ron Conway.
And Ron Conway stands to make hundreds of millions of dollars when Airbnb goes public, assuming that the valuation stays up and assuming that cities don't start regulating it more tightly.
And he's a Republican gentleman, isn't he?
He's a Republican.
Republican, oh my
But
God.
He's also a close friend of the mayor, and the mayor listens to him probably more than anyone else alive.
I wouldn't call it a friendship. I would call it some kind of agreement or Faustian.
Whatever it is, Faustian the mayor thing, listens to him. And as long as the mayor is listening to him
through
and
Steve.
He's in the room, through Steve Kava or whoever, there's not going to be a compromise that's fair to the public interest. It's going to be slanted towards Airbnb because Ron Conway's money's involved. And that's what the real conflict of interest is here. You shouldn't be letting a guy help set policy who has, $100 million, $200 million riding on the outcome from his stock options.
Here's the false dichotomy they'll present, which is it's this or nothing. But see, you don't have to – I've heard that – in Sacramento and here, you know, if they take this and otherwise you'll get nothing and say, no, I'll wait. I'll with domestic workers and the transgender bill. And you get it done.
You get it done.
And who's saying that anyway? They're just bluffing. Because if they, if it looks bad and their polls look bad, they'll go, no. So we'll see, especially with the vulnerability of being up for election in actually a year.
Well, a year. The interesting question is, there is talk in some circles that we should have a special election this fall.
That would be very interesting.
And there's people who say it's a bad idea, some people say it's a good idea, but if we had a special election, we could put revenue measures on the ballot to make up for the money that Trump is cutting.
Yeah.
And that would be the argument to do it.
And reform Prop 13.
And reform, I'm talking about locally.
Especially,
yeah. So, but we could do a sanctuary city thing, and we could put revenue measures on the ballot. In that case, Sheehy would have to face the voters in like 10 months.
Well, there's a list of progressive taxes, and if you have a memory for the prehistoric, that I introduced in 1995.
Yep.
Which got me X-rated to every... Anyway, yeah, there are creative issues.
There are creative ways to do it.
And to say, and David Chu, quote unquote, said, well, we have to wait and see. I mean, to me, that is the most...
We don't have to. We don't have
to wait and see. Jesus.
We don't have to wait and see what Trump is going to do. We know exactly what Trump is going to do.
Give me a break. And besides, what's wrong with prioritizing these issues in the first place? So.
Yeah. Well, before we leave, just a quick plug here. If you are a supporter of 48 Hills and you like what we're doing, on the 19th at 6 p.m., January 19th, 11 days from now, stop by the Stud at 6 p.m. Yeah. Stop by the Stud for cocktails, and Tom will be there to say a few words. David Talbot will be there. We'll have some other celebrity guests.
It should be fun. I am now going to extend my show, Mincing Words, a little publicity here for myself, starting Saturday at the Marsh through February 25th. So you all come by.
Come by the Marsh, come by the new Stud, and we will see you next week.